Breaking NASCAR's unique winner streak at 7 drivers. Truex put the paperclip back on the paper in dominant fashion last weekend at Martinsville. MTJ being coined as the short track king of today. Today we stay in the state of Virginia, but head up the road a piece to Richmond Raceway for the final stop on the 2021 Short Track Trio. Good morning, gearheads, and welcome in to the fastest 2 hours in radio, the Food City Lead Lap. 7 of the 10 active short driver winners in the series have yet to take a checkered flag in 21. Names you might know, like Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Kurt Busch, Brad Kay, Kevin Harvick, Ryan Newman, and Chase Elliott. It's time to go to battle at Richmond on the three-quarter mile D-shaped oval. It's checkers or wreckers. 14 degrees in the turns, 8 on the front, 2 on the back, with a race lap record of 15.397 by Sam Hornish Jr. That's scooting, but with a disclaimer hat, man, he did that in an Indy car.
Yeah, man, those cars are a lot faster for sure. I hope some people got to check those Indy cars out at Richmond a while back because, man, they were lightning fast. About 3 seconds, maybe almost 4 seconds faster than a cup car. But, hey, how's it going, Ron Morton?
It's going good, man. It's good out here in Lenore City in the Lutcher Farm Studios. How you hanging there in the Quarantine Studios?
Everything's going good. A little sprinkly here, but I hear it's going to clear out later, and we're going to get some car racing done at Smoky Mountain tonight. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely want to get on out to Smoky Mountain. The one thing I can tell you about weather like today, when you don't have that sunshine beating down on that red clay, a lot of times the lack of that and drying the track out will create possibly one of the best events you might see all year.
Yeah, man, it makes it easier for sure. You know, I think fans got to see what the sunshine does to a dirt track at Bristol. I mean, it just sucks all that moisture out. But, yeah, when it's a little drizzly like this today and a little cool, cars are making power, the racetrack's making traction, and never know, might see a track record set tonight.
That's it. Great night racing out on the hallowed grounds of the Smoky Mountain Speedway out in Maryville, Tennessee. Get on out there and support your local racetrack. The foreman is in the house, dialing up Billboard's number one hits from the 80s. What you got on cue today, foreman?
Oh, as far as some music goes, how about a little Survivor? Let's see, we've got Queen, a little Bon Jovi, and I think we'll end the note with a little interesting Rick Springfield song that everybody should know. But 80s rock songs to hit number one on the old Billboard charts. I don't know. I just kind of felt like the kind of still going the classic rock route after last week doing 70s rock. So just got a little bit more specific in my choices this week.
Yeah. Well, the 70s was good. I'm excited about the 80s. You know, that was Chris Cormann's era, the 80s.
Oh, man. I'm stuck there still, Ron.
Time warp.
Hey, a lot of great things came out of the 80s. And this is just two prime examples right here.
Hey, I'll tell you, Leslie and I talk.
Yes.
Yeah, like us. Leslie and I talk almost daily how blessed we are to have grown up in the 80s. That was just an awesome generation.
Foreman, what year were you born?
1991.
Wow. You were 11 years absent the 80s.
Yep, that would be accurate.
Well, are you big 80s fans when you go back and listen to that type of music?
Come back?
I like some 80s songs. I mean, most of the songs on the list today, I knew and listened to occasionally. I'm not going to say any of them outside of maybe the Bon Jovi and Survivor are top of the list that I'll play and like, but on more, you know, super regularly. But yeah, I mean, I like a lot of classic rock from both the 70s and the 80s. And then I love 80s and 90s country. That's probably my go-to musical choice.
He's Sam Foreman. He's back in the studios pushing the buttons. I'm Ron Morton. I'm at the Luttrell Farm Studio out in Lenore City. And Chris Corum joins us across the ridge out in Quarantin at the Quarantin Studios. Chris Corum, little Richmond factoid. You ready?
Yeah, let's have it.
The youngest driver to win at Richmond was Richard Petty. He was 23 years of age. You want to take a stab at the oldest driver to win?
Man, I don't know. Let's say
it's an easy one.
I'll throw a guess out and say Harry Gant.
Ah, you're right. God, you're smart.
All right, that's just a guess.
You know how old he was?
52.
51. Good gracious.
Oh.
He was close to 52, though, if you put the months and years on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang. That's why I do this show with you, because you're so smart.
Well, I appreciate that, and I do it with you because you're so good looking. But, hey, did you know that they used to call Richmond Strawberry Hill Raceway? That sounds just like a regular short track you'd go to on any Saturday night. Let's go out to Strawberry Hill Raceway and check them out.
Sounds like a place I'd go park.
That's right. And listen to some 80s music.
And with a young lady.
I don't think I put those cool 80s songs on the playlist. No, I don't think any of those made it.
None of them made it?
Nah, probably, there maybe is one that would fit in that category, but I don't know. I mean, not to spoil things, but we're going to end with a song, you know, talking about wanting someone else's girl. So I guess maybe that kind of fits into the category.
Yeah. Well, that's Rick Springfield. That's working for the weekend, isn't it?
Not the song I chose, but.
No, but it's in that same. That's Chris Corm's band, Rick Springfield.
Yeah, I believe that was Loverboy, but Rick Springfield, you know, I'll tell you, he was pretty underrated. I mean, I think he was wasn't he on a soap opera or something too? But you know, Rick Springfield actually had some decent tunes and a decent guitar player. He was slightly underrated. Let's say that.
Jesse's Girl, that comes to mind.
Yep. He had some hits. He had his
he
run.
Had some hits. I liked Rick Springfield. He was chick magnet.
That's right. Which we were all trying to be in the 80s.
Yes, we were. It's Racing at Richmond. We're a little bit off topic, but that's what we do. Hey, Hamlin is 7 top 5 finishes, which puts him in first position on points over his teammate MTJ, but he still don't have a win. Is MTJ the new short track king, Chris Corm?
Man, I'll tell you, I get more impressed with him weekly. You know, you saw what he did on the dirt and the truck, won the truck dirt race, and he probably would have won the what I call the clash at Daytona had he not got in a little bit of dirt there. I said this last week, Martin Truex is almost like the fan you pulled out of the stands and said, my driver didn't show up, can you drive a race car? And he jumps in there and wins. He's just really very unassuming. It's like he's always surprised that he won a race, and I think Sam Forman may have even picked him last week.
That would be accurate, yes. Finally, I picked the correct Joe Gibbs winner. Finally.
Have you just been picking JGR all year?
No, I failed miserably a few weeks ago with Brad Keselowski testing out one of our caller's theories. That worked out real well. He said, you know, I've picked the winner correct 3 times, just it's been the wrong week. So I was like, well, he picked Brad K. Let's test this theory out. He says he's off a week. I waited a week. I picked Brad Keselowski. It did not go well.
But Sam, we've been doing this 24 years. Never trust your callers.
I went out on a limb. If anything, one of my character flaws is I can be too trusting. What can I say?
That's not a bad character flaw, is it, Chris Corm?
Well, I'm going to join that group. I believe I'm with you, Sam.
Hey, I mean, it happens. What can I say? I don't know. I mean, it was interesting. He, you know, it's like, well, I'm not doing any better on my own, so I might as well try. So, you know, try something.
Next thing we know, you're going to be taking
I'll tell you, I believe every.
Yeah. I was saying next time we know, Chris Corm, he's going to. Go ahead. Well, we keep stepping on. Sorry about that. Chris Corm, next time we know, he's going to be taking Andrew's map, using it.
Yeah, that's right. And, hey, I think everyone, including Denny Hamlin, was surprised he got up there and passed Denny Hamlin there at the end of that race, man.
Yeah, I think Hamlin just had a little better car for the short runs, not the long runs, and then the green flag runs just didn't fall his way.
Yeah, it was something. A couple of Toyotas up there, and then we got the Toyota Owners 400 coming up tomorrow at Richmond.
Yeah, Toyota does a great job at the tracks, you know, especially with their events at Richmond. I've seen them at big sponsorships at Bristol before. One of the things that they do, I think, which is super cool as a sponsor, number one, it's called the Toyota Owners 400. So they're giving the owners of Toyota skin in the game, which I think is brilliant marketing ploy. The other big thing they do in activation-wise is they'll go into somewhere really, really as close to the track as they can get, and they'll rent a big field or a big area. And then they, if you drive a Toyota, then you get to park for free in the Toyota owner's lot. Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah, man. And I'll tell you, I don't believe I've seen anyone that's better at sponsorship activation than Toyota. And you'll see a lot of people sponsor different things, but unless, you know, you activate it and you add those little goodies like you're talking about free parking, I mean, it really don't get your bang for the buck when you sponsor something. So, yeah, man, the marketing people at Toyota are pretty savvy indeed.
Yeah, I think so, too. Was a little uncertain when they came into sport, but I think they've been good for the sport, and I think that probably that's where we're headed. Maybe there was a little talk this week about possibly Nissan moving in. We keep hearing certain names like that, so we're definitely evolving as a sport and changing, and you know, you got to do that if you're going to stay relevant to today's generation, don't you agree?
I agree absolutely. You know, we've talked about several different manufacturers, Kia coming in, different people coming in, and I think it's a good thing. A lot of people don't like change, and I resist it, I'll admit. But like you said, Ron, you put it perfectly. If you're going to stay relevant, you have to change and bring new things and new ideas in, and it's definitely a time of change in NASCAR, no doubt.
They're racing in Richmond. He's Hatman Chris Corum. I'm Ron Morton, the pit boss. We've got you for the next 2 hours. And I tell you what, it's going to be interesting. A lot of competition at Richmond. You look at Hamlin. He's got 7 top 5 finishes, which puts him at first in position over MTJ, but doesn't have a win. Kyle Larson has 4 top 5 finishes on the year, no win. Kyle Busch, 6-time Richmond winner, 7 runner-up finishes at Richmond. He's finished either first or second and almost half of his career starts at Richmond. Look for Kyle Busch to be a player in today's Richmond race. He's got to get around Kevin Harvick, 3-time winner, and then Kurt Busch, 10 short track wins in his career, Hatman. Is that some competition or what?
Man, I'll tell you, and you know, we talk about parity of competition every week in NASCAR, and there is at least half the cars in the field that can win, and that's a lot of fun to watch.
Yes, it is. Hey, we're going to take a look back at last week. It's time to take a look back before we mash the gas and go forward in today's media pass. Here's Sam.
All right, in this week's media center for your media pass, we're going to start off with comments from last week's winner, Martin Truex Jr., as he talks about winning at Martinsville and racing his teammate Denny Hamlin late in the race.
I can't believe we won here again after not having the dominant car today for sure, but that was a lot of fun there at the end racing with Denny, and we raced clean and we were able to come out on top.
You mentioned racing with Denny at the end of the race right there. How difficult is that? When it's a teammate, you know you're going to see him on Monday morning. How does that go?
Yeah, I mean, it's always difficult. We try to race hard, race clean, you know, and he was making it difficult on me. You know, I was loose coming off the corners, and his car got tight. So we kind of had opposite things going on, and it made it difficult to pass. But we played nice, and Coach will be happy, and it'll be a cordial meeting tomorrow.
You always want to keep the owner happy when you're racing your teammate, and we know we've seen at all levels in NASCAR a number of teammate conflicts, including with Joe Gibbs Racing this year. So good to see some nice, clean racing there. Let's hear from his teammate, Denny Hamlin, who was one of the dominant cars throughout the day last Sunday at Martinsville, unable to hold off his teammate and capitalize and finally find a way to victory lane. Here's Denny Hamlin post-race.
What could you have done differently or had differently to hold him off?
That's the cards you're dealt. You know, we had a really good short-run car. We just did not have a good long-run car. And, you know, we saved a set of tires, which had a tire advantage, but, you know, man, just couldn't get our car to really turn in the long run. That was the bugaboo, I guess you could say, of it. But overall, the FedEx Camry team, performed well. We had a really fast car for 20 laps or so, and then it would just kind of go away. So, you know, fortunate for us, we had a great day and stayed up for all the day and had ourselves a shot at it.
That will take care of this week's media pass as we exit the media center. Ron, Chris, great racing by Denny Hamlin all day, but as after the lights went out, Martin Truex Jr.'s number 19 just seemed to take on new life, and he worked out good strategy in the pits and managed to top his teammate, Denny Hamlin, keeping Hamlin out of victory lane yet again this season.
Thank you, Sam. That's Media Pass. That's brought to you weekly by Ted Russell Ford, Parkside, and Walker Springs. Here's a rundown on the weekend. The trucks will take the track today at 1:30 Eastern for the Toyota Care 250, with the Cup drivers laying over until tomorrow for the Toyota Owners 400 at 3 Eastern. They'll battle for 300 miles, 400 laps, with Stage 1 in and on Lap 85, Stage 2 on 235, and the checkered flag waving on Lap 400. A roof over Bristol cost about $80 million. That's today's Mash the Gas or Slam on the Brakes. Your calls, your picks, 656-9900, 656-9900. The speed lines are now being opened. But first, let's get some news and notes with the foreman.
Last week, Martin Truex Jr. put the Martin back in Martinsville, as despite not being the dominant car, he captured the checkered flag to become the first repeat winner in the Cup Series in 2021. Truex managed to outrace teammate Denny Hamlin, who once again, despite having one of the best cars for the majority of the race, could not find a way to wind up in victory lane. The rest of the top five at Martinsville was Chase Elliott finishing second, Denny Hamlin finished third, William Byron fourth, and Kyle Larson fifth. Also, all four Joe Gibbs cars finished inside the top 10 as Christopher Bell finished 7th and Kyle Busch finished 10th. In the Xfinity Series, Hendersonville, Tennessee native Josh Berry found his way to victory lane for the first time in the series. The rest of the top five in the Xfinity Series last week was Noah Gragson 2nd, Daniel Hemric 3rd, Ty Gibbs 4th, and Brandon Jones 5th. As for this week, the Truck Series will run the Toyota Karis 250 today at 1:30, and the Cup Series will run the Toyota's Owners 400 on Sunday, with the green flag dropping around 3:15. Last week's winner, Martin Truex Jr., will start from the pole position with teammate Denny Hamlin starting alongside him in row one. Chase Elliott will start third, William Byron fourth, and Joey Logano will start fifth. Also in the news this week in NASCAR, Harrison Burton will make his Cup Series debut at Talladega next week. Also, Jennifer Jo Cobb will make her Cup Series debut at Talladega as well, where she'll become the first female to race in NASCAR's top series since Danica Patrick in 2018. Lastly, seven-time Cup Series champion Jimmy Johnson will make his debut in the open-wheeled NTT IndyCar Series on Sunday as he takes part in the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama. News and notes is brought to you by Cox General Contracting. Got a building project? Call Cox.
Hi, The Tiger by Survivor brings us back, released in 82. Chris Corm, I was a freshman in high school when that same song come out.
Oh man, and you remember the music on Rocky? And hey, I wanted to let everybody know my smarter and more successful sister Renee did inform me that Rick Springfield was on General Hospital. He was Dr. Noah Drake. So thanks, sis, for clearing that up for us. We thought he was on a soap opera.
Yeah, I thought he was a soap opera.
Well, that's true too, as a lot of us could say in the 80s. I guess our lives were soap operatic, as maybe the scholars used to say. But yeah, I'll tell you, that was a fun time, Ron.
Yeah, the 80s were good. I was glad to be a child of the 80s. And well, it was good music came out of the 80s. So yeah, I'm definitely glad that Sam picked the 80s to flash back to here. So we got more of the 80s coming up, and we're racing in Richmond. 656-9900. The Ted Russell Ford speed lines are now open. 656-9900. It's time to play Bristol or Bust. You could be headed to the Bristol Night Race on us, and we're asking you whether you want to push the pedal or slam on the brakes for a roof over Bristol. Let's go straight to the speed lines and get Daniel B's call. Daniel, you're on the Food City Lead Lap.
Hey, guys, how we doing?
What's up, Daniel?
Hey, man, I got to say I love that song. Just say it come out in 82.
82.
Yeah, that's the year I was born. Actually, one of the high schools I went to was down in Ringo, Georgia, and they were the Ringo Tigers. And I dated a girl in high school, and her younger brother at the time, I mean, it might have changed now, but he was a wrestler, and he was the first four-time state champion wrestler in the state of Georgia, you know, at the time. And that's the song, that's the music he would come out when it was his turn to wrestle. You know, that's the music he come out to. So that's I got a little history with that song.
And you said that was her brother that was the wrestler?
It was her brother. Her brother was a four-time state champion in Ringgold, Georgia, just across the border there, right south of Chattanooga.
I think that was in my Rick Springfield book of dating don'ts, was don't ever date a girl who has a brother who's a state champion wrestler.
Well, I mean, he probably still could have took me, but he was a younger brother.
Oh, okay. You got to be careful with that.
Yeah. Oh, like I said, I bet he still could have took me. I mean, you know, I might have been able to stand toe-to-toe boxing, but if he'd got close to me, I'd have been the end of me.
That's right. Well, what'd you think about the race at Martinsville and Richmond coming up tomorrow?
Well, I'm hoping to make it back in time to watch the Richmond race. I've had something scheduled for about a month. Me and some buddies and my wife are going skydiving down in Chattanooga tomorrow at noon. So,
man, that sounds like fun. That sounds like a lot of fun, Daniel.
Yeah, my 18-year-old son, he's going to be his first jump. I've got my wife's going to be her first jump, and I got two buddies going to be their first jump. So I'm looking forward to actually watching them more than doing it myself.
I never did get the whole concept of jumping out a perfectly good airplane, Daniel.
See, I get that all the time. You say perfectly good. If you was up in that airplane, you'd be able to tell, man. You're talking like 15 people in that airplane, and you look up, and there's a little sign that says 1,200 pounds max, and you know about five people in that plane exceed that. So you're ready to jump out of it.
Well, you know, as long as you're lying about your weight. I said that before when they were loading a Delta flight I was on. They were going through asking everybody what their weight was, and I said, I'd hate to think that I went down an ocean because some fat woman lied about her weight.
Well, you can't get away with that there. They weigh you before you go in, because if you weigh so much, you have to pay extra. So
I got you.
I enjoyed last week's race. I really thought it was going to be I thought it was going to come down to Truex and Blaney until he had that, you know, little thing there on pit road, because it seemed like he had the better car long run. But I just knew if a caution came out, I thought Hamlin was going to take it. But, you know, it happened how it happened. But just because of what happened last week and how good Denny is, I think I'm gonna take Hamlin this week.
All right, man, we got you down for Hamlin. He's off the board. That's a great great pick. I mean, he's looking for his first win. Got a lot on the line. Are you pushing a pedal or slamming on the brakes for the roof over Bristol?
Well, I'm pushing the pedal if it's a retractable roof.
Okay. So it's conditional.
It conditions. Yeah, it just depends on what the weather. I mean, if it's nice outside, I mean, hell, I like a little sunshine, you know.
I got you. I'm same way. I feel the same way. All right, man, we got you down. We'll talk to you next week. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, man, we'll see you. That's Daniel D. joining us on Lead Lap. Let's get to Lynn's call. Lynn, you're on the Food City Lead Lap.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. You know, I turned in a little bit late, and Ron, you were on a roll. You were parking on Strawberry Hill, and you weren't pressing your collars. I thought about hanging up, but I stayed with you.
Well, Lynn, we got our ratings this week, and they were so high, believe it or not, they called us in and asked us if we would try to drive them back down a little bit.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Do I get to say?
Yeah, you get to say.
Okay. All right. All right. If I can stay, I'll stay with you. I thought it was a pretty good race last week. I've talked to some people who did not, but I thought it was a good race. So kind of looking forward to tonight. These half mile, these short track races are what it's all about. So I'm all in.
Yeah, Lynn, I'm with you there, Lynn. I thought it was a good race too. You know, Daniel just talked about Blaney. I mean, Blaney was up there and looked like he really had the car. We talked a lot about on the show about getting your car to rotate, and man, he really could. That car really looked good. One of the best Penske cars I've seen at Martinsville in a while, and then had trouble in the pits. And and there's the Joe Gibbs Toyotas. But were you surprised to see Truex be able to get up there and get by Hamlin there at the end of the race?
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. He had a pretty good car, you know. I mean, he was able to run up in the, you know, top six, five, six, seven, somewhere along in there. But I did not see him winning that race, even with, you know, like 30 or 40 to go or whatever it was right before he passed him. And then, you know, Hamlin just kind of faded, and there he was, and he hung on. So, you know, the first second-time winner all year. I'd like to see another first-timer tonight.
There's a bunch of competitive ones out there looking for their first win. We talked about that a little earlier. I mean, Kyle Busch has been absolutely dominant at that track. Been a little bit off this year, but you know Kyle Busch. I mean, he's going to be a hunter. Hamlin's going to be a hunter. Larson's had, I think, four or five top fives this season, and they're all starting up front with this new qualifying procedure. I mean, basically, when I look at qualifying, Lynn, each week, I mean, it's almost like the same top 8 or 10 that got locked in earlier in the year.
Yep. Yeah. You know, I'm going to pick Larson this time. I think, you know, that's going to be my pick for the week, and we'll see what happens with him.
Well, we got you down for yep. Larson. Just to FYI, he got his first sprint car win last night. I'm not sure where he was, but I saw he got a victory there racing last night in sprint cars.
And he raced on Thursday night somewhere up in West Virginia. So, come in third. So, he's had lots of practice this week.
Yeah. He'll be warmed up, Chris Gorm.
Yeah, they were at Tyler County Speedway in West Virginia there Thursday night, and then he was at Williams Grove last night. And I was going to cover this in Talking Dirty, but Lynn, in the last 8 races, dirt races, he's been in 3 different kind of cars. Guess what his average finish is?
It's at least third, probably higher.
1.6. In the last 8 races, 3 different kinds of cars, midgets, sprint cars, and late models. That there, race fans, is a race car driver. He is just something phenomenal, I'll tell you.
He's a talented kid.
I think you'd call him a wheel man, right?
I got to talk to him at Tazzle, and I told him he was the A.J. Foyt of our time. I mean, he can drive anything. Yep. He's just amazing.
Yeah.
All right, Lynn.
One other thing before I leave, you guys. You've been talking about age and born in the 80s. I was 40 years old in the 80s, so I'm just dealing with a bunch of kids this morning.
Well, we thank you for being our pops.
Okay, I'll take care of you. Just trust me, I'll take care of you.
I do trust you. I mean, I trusted you more when you were still over at the Bean Company because I knew you could feed us for the rest of our life, but anyway, I think you'll be okay with that. Just one quick question. The talk about putting the roof over Bristol, you pushing the gas or slamming the brakes for that?
Well, I'm kind of like Daniel. I was going to slam the brakes, but if we get it retractable, that'll work. If nobody that's never been to Darlington in the fall when they had that roof over the grandstands down there don't know what hot is, and you don't want to sit under a roof if it's that hot and humid. So I went as a teenager, and oh, it was hot. Oh, it was hot. So I've kind of got a bad feeling for a roof.
All right. Well, we got you down on that. We appreciate you, Kyle. We'll talk at you next week.
All right. We see you guys.
All right, man. We appreciate Lynn's call every week. Got Ashley D. and Andrew. Hang on with us through the break. We're right up against it. Your calls, your race picks. You're driving the show. It's time for Track Facts with a man that has more cats than he does dollar bills. Sorry, Sam.
When they're facts, they're facts. Can't argue with them. This week, NASCAR remains in Virginia, but moves from Martinsville to Richmond Raceway, also known as America's premier short track. Richmond Raceway is a 3/4-mile D-shaped oval. The track is 60 feet wide with a 10-foot apron and features 14 degrees of bankings in the turns and 8 degrees at the starting line of the 1,290-foot stretch, front stretch, and 2 degrees of banking on the 860-foot-long back stretch. Just like last week, NASCAR's short track rules package will be in effect with a tapered spacer used to set a target of 750 horsepower. And the cars will use a reduced downforce package with shorter spoiler, a shorter splitter overhang, and other aerodynamic changes. Cup Series teams will have 9 sets of Goodyear tires to run through a 300-mile race. Due to the hot wear nature of the track, 4 tires and maintaining track position will be critical this weekend at Richmond. Since its inaugural race in 1953, Richmond Raceway has hosted a Cup Series race in every year since 1955, and Sunday's race will mark its 129th Cup Series event. 2 of the last 3 Richmond races have had a green flag stretch of 148 or more laps to finish the race. In the last 12 races at Richmond, the race winner has started inside the top 10 all but 2 times. Joe Gibbs Racing has dominated in recent history at Richmond, winning 4 of the last 5 and 7 of the last 10 races. Today's truck race will be run in 3 stages, with the Stage 1 ending on lap 70, Stage 2 ending on lap 140, setting up a 110-lap race to the checkered flag. Sunday's Cup race will be run in 3 stages as well. Stage 1 will end on lap 80, Stage 2 will end on lap 235, setting up a 165-lap race to the finish. Track Facts is brought to you by Phoenix Conversions, when it has to be the best.
Joan Jett brings us back. I Love Rock and Roll. The song hit number 1 on the Billboard charts in 1982 and spent 20 weeks atop. Hat Man, let's talk about Joan Jett. I was old enough to know she wasn't exactly what I would call a fox back in the day, but she had some sort of air about her that was kind of sexy.
Yeah, I will agree with that. You know, is that rock star status, and that song. It's funny how you remember where you were the first time you hear a song. And I remember being in a locker room, and I think I was in the 8th grade, maybe. Maybe I was a freshman, but anyway, man, that was definitely an anthem of the 80s. Like you said, spent many weeks there at number 1, and Joan Jett had several hits. That was her biggest one. I think that defines her, but, you know, there was a few there that she clicked off, and definitely a rock and roller, man. Joan Jett, still doing her thing. You'll see her pop up every once in a while on a TV show or whatever. So, man, she's got to be 60-something, right?
Yeah, still rocking it out, man. I tell you, those old rockers never never die. They just smell that way, I think. isn't that what they say? Yeah, exactly. Ashley D, call us back. We'll get you back your place in line. But first, let's go to Andrew. Andrew, you're on the Food City Lead Lap.
Good morning. Good morning, fellas. How are y'all?
Hey, we're doing good, man. How about you?
Good. I'm down here at the lake in Alabama, laying in a hammock, staring at the beautiful earth God gave us. It is beautiful down here. I love it.
You got it made.
Yeah. I was born in 1980. You know, the world should have already known by then that it was going to be a great decade, you know. That's my thought on it, at least.
Hey, look at you now. You're laying in a Hamlin. I mean, you've obviously been successful on the lake in May in Alabama. I mean, you couldn't just drive to a lake around here. You got to get a car and go away to Alabama. But, I mean, obviously something happened when you were born.
Well, you know, this is family-owned. It's got a little bit more sentimental value than the lakes up there to me. But, you know, the lakes up there are good. I just love this one. I like those.
You got a boat there? Tell me what your setup is.
Well, I just bought my, I got a little Sun Dolphin. It's a canoe, but it's a square back, so you can put a trolling motor on it. And I go around the lake on that. That's all I need here. It gets me to where I need to go to catch fish.
Well, that's about, are you eating or are you catching and releasing?
I'll get to that here in a little bit. It had to do with my mass equation. Now, check this out. Daniel's talking about jumping out of a plane. He actually called and asked me to do that with him. But, you know, I went and did that one time, and I got scared to death because as I was looking over the earth, the guy who it was on my back, he said – this, and he was telling me this when we were about to jump. He said, "Now, do you remember in your contract that I can release you in any time if I need to? And if I pass out, which I do often, hit this cord right here." And then we jumped out the dang plane. So I was scared to death the whole way.
I'd say I don't think I want anybody reciting my contract midair.
No. Yeah, it was something else. We made it to the ground, obviously, but not without almost a near heart attack. Now, check this out. So, this is my fishing, let's see, for yesterday. I caught 23 crappie yesterday. I'm going to add the number of catfish I caught, 10. That gives me to 33. And I have to divide that. No, I multiply that by how many fish have broke my line. That gets me to 66. And divide that by how many keeping size crappie that I threw back because they were pregnant, that three, that gets me to 22. Joey Logano. Joey Logano's number. He's going to Winter Circle, Richmond.
2-2, Chris Corum.
It's amazing, mind-boggling, and somewhat impressive how your math equations almost always end up on Joey Logano.
I knew that's where we were headed when we got to 66.
I think he starts fifth. He's won there a few times. He's just a good driver. And Vegas has him up top five, I think. So
he's got nothing to lose, brother. He's already locked into the championship. He's got nothing to lose.
That's right. Except he needs to put my name in the hat. I didn't pick him the week he won.
Speaking of putting your name in the hat for Bristol, we've been talking about the potentially new roof over Bristol, and we're asking people today, you'll push the gas for a roof over Bristol or slam on the brakes?
Well, as much as I hate to say this, Daniel's right. I think that if it's, it can be opened, it might be worth it. But definitely for all the fans who pay and come from all over, just to have it rained out and they can't come back the next day, it'd be worth it to probably put a roof on it. Yeah.
All right. Sam Foreman's giving you the gas. So that must be how he heard that.
That's my take on it.
It's a little uncommittal, there.
You guys have a great day. I'm going to go start fishing.
All right, man. We appreciate you taking time to call in from Alabama. Tell everybody down there we said get some teeth. Radio silence, Chris Corum.
Cricket. You know how you knew that the toothbrush was invented in Alabama, right?
Here we go. Give it to me.
Well, if it had been invented in Tennessee, we'd have called it a teeth brush.
And that is Chris Corum's stupid joke of the day. Surely we can bring that to you by Smoky Mountain Raceway. Get out there tonight.
That's right. Thank you. I'll be here till 12.
Here, I'm going to return the favor. You ready?
Yeah.
What concert costs just 45 cents?
Oh, here we go.
I know this one, but it's a good one. Go ahead, Ron.
50 Cent featuring Nickelback.
Yeah, that, we should have definitely told our last caller that. He would have enjoyed the mathematical element of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to have to find ourselves a cymbal sound effect before next week's show. Here's one last one for you. What did how did the butcher introduce his wife at the party? Meet Patty.
Oh. All right, Chris Corum, go. You got the second one while we're on jokes. Right up against the hour, quick.
Oh, man, we better move on, Ron. It's getting pretty bad. We don't infringe upon Josh Ward's dad joke stick here, so we better just move on to motorsports.
That was one of Josh Ward's jokes. I should give credit where credit's due.
We stole that from Josh.
I may have stolen that one from Josh.
Yeah, lack of material. That's it. All right, I'm gonna end it on that since we're right up to the break. I'll give you one more. What do sprinters eat before a race?
Let's have it.
Nothing. They fast.
Oh, we need a cricket sound too, Sam.
What we need is a break. Richmond, Talladega, Kansas, Darlington, and Dover. That's where we're headed for the next few weeks on the Food City Lead Lap. Hour one is in the book. Stay with us for more rock and roll of the 80s and more racing. Hatman Talks Dirty in hour two, plus your calls and your picks. 656-9900, 656-9900. We got room for you on the other side of the hour. We are the Lead Lap. We are the fastest 2 hours in radio. We'll be back for one more hour.